But the scripture lesson for this evening is from Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Paul wrote, "Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I really didn't want to preach this evening, so I'm going to tell you a story instead. And it's fitting because who woke up this morning and was really cold? Because I remember a few short winters ago, boy, it was really cold and it was really snowy up there in the Catskills. Just the way I like my winters, in all honesty. I'm really hoping we get something good here this year. But this winter, 2 years ago, was a little bit different because Romy just happened to be 9 months pregnant. Now, 2 years before this, we lived way up in, before this point, 2 years earlier, we lived in Roscoe, so 4 years ago, and I just happened to decide that we needed a Jeep. Who doesn't need a Jeep in the mountains, right? Or better yet, I wanted to join that crowd that I had been labeled a part of for so long. You know those millennials? I kept seeing those articles that they always had one compact SUV and then one subcompact car. I already had the subcompact. I just needed the compact SUV now. And I said, hey, I can get a Jeep and justify it because I wanted to fit into that stereotype, you know, that we placed on particular parts of our society. I wanted to be sure I fit that mold. But fast forward 2 years and a couple of snowy Catskill winters later, and here we are expecting our second child in the bleak midwinter. Of course, this was the season that there was a snowstorm literally every single week, like clockwork up there in the mountains. It got to the point where if it didn't snow 4 to 6 inches once a week, we're like, what's happening? Romy's due date just happened to be February 10th. Previously, it was February 14th because, you know, we just planned it out that way to have a Valentine's baby. But no, they bumped it up 4 days sooner. And, you know, I didn't have a problem with it because I don't have a problem adjusting to change at the last moment or anything like that. But the Sunday before arrived, and it was February 8th. I remember this distinctly. We preached at our four churches that Sunday, or you had off that Sunday already, didn't you? That was Romy's first maternity Sunday. So I preached in two churches, and then we had two other laity covering in the two other churches. And we came back home that afternoon. Romy's sister, and it was Aunt Giuska, right, had flown in from Slovakia just a day or two before that. To come to be with us while what we assumed was going to be Victoria was born and not Victor. Surprises, you know, we always are prepared for surprises here. Well, Monday arrived, and of course, it's about 10 degrees outside. That's the high temperature. It wasn't a good week if the lows weren't below zero every single night. And a snowstorm had set in Monday afternoon, just like every week it had done for the last 2 months. Now, this is the moment I had been waiting for with this Jeep for 2 years. The problem is that up in the mountains, once the sun sets, the snow plows get much more sparse than they are during the day. And this snowstorm just happened to continue into the early evening hours, so they plowed about the last time around 8 o'clock, but you know what happens with that little bit of lake effect on the back ends of the storms. You always end up with another 2 or 3 inches on the ground. So naturally, this is the perfect time to go into labor, right? Of course it would be. So in the early morning hours of Tuesday morning, here we are loading up into the snow-covered Jeep in a driveway that had not been plowed, where the state truck had last gone through a few hours beforehand. So we had probably 6 hours of flurries that had been falling. Fun times were to be had by all. Because there's nothing like that first time driving in winter weather like I experienced in South Carolina my first year in college. I learned just how bad sleep can be on the roads. Thankfully, that wasn't the case here this night. But there's a funny story in South Carolina that involves ice storms, a car, and about 8 guys, and pushing another car into a different parking lot on college. But that's not really sermon material, so we're going to save that one for another day. But we're loaded up. We're ready to go. And this was the third time I had to use all-wheel drive on the Jeep in the 2 years I had owned it. And it was getting out of the end of the driveway because the state truck came through and just threw everything at the end of the road. And I was like, well, we're either getting out or we're not. Now, y'all who are familiar with the Catskills, y'all know hospitals are far and few between, right? Especially ones that deliver babies. Well, I mean, they can all deliver a baby, but one set up to deliver a baby. So this birth plan is already up in the air at this point with this snowstorm. I just didn't want to tell Pastor Romy. So as we're driving the 50 or so miles to the Cooperstown Hospital, there's a turnoff about halfway there. Going straight would take us to Oneonta. Turning right would take us to Cooperstown. Now, there's a hospital in Oneonta that is set up to deliver babies. And I remember asking Romy, do you think you can make it to Cooperstown or do I need to go to Oneonta? Of course, I was thinking this baby's going to be born wherever this baby's going to be born, but I distinctly remember Pastor Romy saying, my baby is not going to be born in Oneonta. So we kept going towards Cooperstown. Naturally, traffic is fairly light at this time of the early morning hours, just after a snowstorm. Traditionally, it would be fairly heavy, you know, with the Little Leaguers and that Baseball Hall of Fame inducting folk all the time up there. But man, I could just see it. I was starting to get a little bit anxious. And I was thinking about, what's my baby's birth certificate going to say when it says place of birth? Back of Jeep. Highway 28, delivered by Officer Jones. I could just see it now. And here I am trying to be that calm, non-anxious presence that they teach us in seminary to be. Because I knew better than to let my own fears and anxieties bubble up, even if they were a little bit or a lot or a whole heap of a lot at that point. Because at that time, driving down that road, a state highway was completely covered in snow. And up there, man, everything looks alike up there when it's covered in snow. And the winds were howling about 20, 30 miles an hour. So that wasn't helping things at all. Dear Lord, just let us make it to Cooperstown. Maybe I'd be fortunate enough to find one of those random snow plows and be able to flag it down, because you know what? I am ever the optimist, right? Yeah, we didn't see a single snow plow that whole drive for 2 hours up there to Cooperstown. So a drive that would take about an hour ended up taking 2 whole hours to get there. Still good time, I thought. So we get to the hospital, and my anxiety level has finally dropped. I pulled in, you know, Romy's contractions were at like 4.5 to 5 minutes between them, and I'm sitting there like, God, I wish I'd have brought a paper bag so I can hyperventilate into it while I'm driving down the road. And I pull into the parking lot where it goes up into the emergency room, and I drop Romy off at the door, and I get back in the Jeep and leave her at the door. But she went in, and you went on ahead upstairs too, didn't you? You don't remember? But anyways, I went down the hill, and if you're familiar with the Cooperstown Hospital, the big parking lot at the bottom, and then you got to walk up this steep hill to get back to the main building. Boy, it was a slippery walk there. But we got into the labor and delivery room, and things were going perfect. Thank God Almighty for the blessings in my life, taking away my anxiety. The nurse that was there, she was fantastic, wasn't she? You don't remember, I do. But thank God for that, because there is nothing worse than a nurse that doesn't want to be there. Now, I've only been around for the birth of my 2 children and no others. But from stories that you hear, sometimes it can be a traumatic experience, filled with many emotions and many words that are spoken and left in that labor and delivery room, never to be spoken of again. But that wasn't the case with Pastor Romy. Things were going so well. She's laughing, she's smiling and joking with the nurse. And the nurse is just like, wow, this is perfect. This is one of the best things that one could expect when given birth. So the doctor comes in and he gets his own little table ready with everything that he's going to need there. And because he doesn't trust the nurses to do it right, or he was OCD, I couldn't tell you. And the nurses are just bustling about, and as the time quickly approaches, we're getting excited because we know it's not going to be much longer at all, especially knowing that the time is hastening near. Then that anxiety of the birth of our second child is going to be over. We can go home in a couple short days. We can be that family of four that we've been expecting to be for the last 9 months. It can be like one of them there Norman Rockwell paintings, right? So the doctor came in because the time was near to check on the baby. Now, when a doctor does a quick check on something and gets up and says, "I'll be right back," and runs out the door, what happens to your anxiety level? Yeah, it goes through. It's like going and getting your lab work done at the doctor's office, and they say, "It'll probably take 4 to 5 days before we get the results back," and you get a phone call that afternoon. It's like anxiety just jumps right up there, especially when he walks back in with an ultrasound machine. I got enough common sense to know that an ultrasound machine is not needed at this point in the pregnancy unless there is something about to go wrong or already going wrong. So the doctor's fear was realized, and Victoria, at least we assumed that she was going to be Victoria, not Victor, that the baby was Frank Breech. Normally, this would have been noticed, but you know, after a certain period in pregnancy, and if there's no serious concerns, they don't do ultrasounds anymore later on in pregnancies. So I go from perfectly calm, relaxed, and collected to this walking ball of anxiety and fear. And there was no time for me to pull my phone out and get on Wikipedia and look up what Frank Breech is. How many of y'all have ever been diagnosed with something and you didn't know what the doctor was talking about, but you just kind of kept nodding your head like, "Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying." Well, that was my case here. So I remember the doctor saying to Romy that traditionally in this scenario here in the United States, we do a C-section, and that I don't know how you do things in the country that you're from in Slovakia. And he could barely finish his sentence, and Romy said, "Oh, no, we'll do that." I guess he normally has to convince people to change their plans spur of the moment there. Because some folks just may not want to deviate from them, even when it's in their best interest. So man, here I am. It's just like I jumped on the roller coaster here. Things are changing so quickly. We spend all this time in the labor and delivery room only to end up being scheduled for a C-section. Okay, cool. I can deal with that. I can adjust a little bit. Yeah, well, the baby had other plans. Don't kids always have other plans? God said it was time for this baby to be born right then and there. And Romy knew it. And I knew it because Romy knew it. And if she knows it, you better believe I'm going to agree. And Romy asked how long it was going to be before they were going to have the operating room set up, which was just right outside and around the corner. And they said about an hour. A few minutes later, Romy said, "You ain't got an hour. This baby's coming right now." And apparently, if you say that enough with enough emotion behind your voice, the hospital staff will kick it into high gear, and all of a sudden, that operating room will be ready in moments. So in the matter of less than what felt like forever, but I know had to be less than 10 minutes, Romy's out the door, and the nurse that had given me the gown and the gloves and the hat and the mask to put on, here I am just standing in this labor delivery room, just kind of standing there, just chilling, just waiting for them to come and take me back there to be with Romy in the operating room for the delivery. And the nurse that had been with us there, that whole time she came in, she had to tell me the last thing any dad wants to hear when he's ready to go back and see his baby enter into this world, because it had been upgraded to an emergency C-section, I wasn't allowed to go back. So, where's that strong, non-anxious presence? And calmly asked to the nurse, I was like, "Well, what do I do now?" You ever had that time in your life when you felt like you just had absolutely zero control over everything? Time in your life where you thought you knew what was happening only to have it shattered before you? So she says, "We're going to put you in the postpartum room." At this point, I probably looked like a husk of my normal self, and I said to her, "Do I need to bring our things?" Looking back, I can say, "Well, duh, David." She says yes, and then she helped me pick up our bags and our coats and a jacket, the jacket that I had accidentally left behind in there. Now, I don't know if they teach this in nurses' school, but she did something that I have never seen any other nurse in my life do before. She was already technically off duty at this point. Her shift had already ended. But there she was with me in the room there. She asked me one simple question as I sat down on that little couch in front of the window. She says, "Do you want me to sit here with you?" Well, anyone who knows how Southern men are when it comes to pride knows that we never, or at least seldom, do we ever ask for or accept help when we know we are supposed to be the pillar of the family, or even of the church. We're not supposed to be the anxious ones. Especially pastors, they're supposed to be the ones who are holding it together when everyone else is absolutely falling apart. They're supposed to be the ones who help hold everyone else up. Here I am, supposedly trying to live into this mold that has been formed for me by society. That was a long hour or two, or however long it was, sitting there in the room by myself. Remember laying there on the couch in the room with absolutely zero thoughts in my head. I can't even remember if I called anyone or told anyone about what was happening at this point. But then the nurse came in and asked if I wanted to see my little girl. I mean, it wasn't like I was going to say no or anything. So they took me back into the little medical room where, you know, where they do the vital signs on the child, and they're running all the tests, doing the little blood work. On them there, and there she was underneath that McDonald's heat lamp, staying nice and warm. only problem I noticed was that her leg was perfectly straight, and she was kicking herself in her forehead. And her leg would not bend down like you would expect on a normal baby. I remember the staff that was there, they asked if I wanted to hold her, and I said, "Not right now," because I was still processing what was going on. I was trying to work through my own anxiety and then wonder why my child is kicking herself in her head, because I know that's not supposed to happen. So after a little bit, Victoria, Faith, and I, we went back to the postpartum room together, and we're there, just the two of us, and shortly thereafter, they rolled in a knocked-out mom into the room, who promptly heard her baby whimper a little and then sat up and said, "Is that my baby?" I looked at her, and I said, "You know you had a baby?" The nurse looked at her even more perplexed and said, "You know you had a baby?" Apparently, Slovaks can handle their anesthesia really well. But I gotta say, over the next 24 hours, doctors started coming into the room. You know, the ones you don't normally see. You know, the orthopedic surgeons, you know, the pediatric cardiologist. And just when God let the anxiety drop a little bit, it went right back up through the roof, because I don't remember those doctors coming in when Veronica was born. Then over the course of the next 6 months to a year, it was almost weekly doctor's visits, EKGs, the echocardiograms, the orthopedic visits, sonograms, and x-rays on the hips. What was it, 4 months in the harness for her to form the sockets on her hips? Whew, Blue Cross and I got real close. I found out what max out of pocket really meant. Oh boy, I was sitting there, I was like, somebody's going to have to get me a Xanax or a Lexapro, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through all this. But you know what? Through all this, the part I forgot about was, don't forget about God's presence in your life. We shouldn't be anxious about anything. Rather, we should bring up all of our requests and all of our concerns to God in our prayers and in our petitions. Along with giving thanks. You know, then that peace of God that exceeds all our own understandings is going to keep our hearts and minds calm in Christ Jesus. I should have known better. Now, you wouldn't know that with a six-month-old that there was going to be a doctor already prepping us a year and a half in advance for the heart surgery they thought they were going to have to do on Victoria. because of her pulmonary valve stenosis. Apparently they go in and they put a little, what is it, they do the stent? They do a little balloon thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, on a two-year-old, they do that to stretch the valve out so it will open and close properly. Yeah, that stuff really doesn't set in until you sit back and reflect upon it. And to think that not too terribly long ago, kids that were born Frank Breech would have grown up and they would have had the developmental issues with their legs. Then they fixed it with surgery, right? As they got older. And then just look at her now. Running around like crazy. I'm surprised she hasn't run up here already. Yeah, I realized, I didn't have it as bad as I could have. There's so many more people that have it so much worse than what we went through. Yeah, think about it. There's those babies who never come home from the hospital, who may never walk or have a life that we're so blessed to have today. So here we are, here and now, a people of God. And how do we respond and how do we show our thankfulness to God in our lives? Do we walk around an anxious people, worrying about everything? Or do we bring it before God's, bring it before one another, so that we can experience the peace that God brings to our lives? Because our Lord does pass all our understandings. We can't fully know God in our lives. We can't know what God is thinking. But we rest assured that our Lord is carrying us on. If we think of our faith in this manner, if we approach with the mindset that we belong to God and all that we have we're to offer to God, including our anxieties and our fear, only then will we be able to begin to change or to continue the change. It was ushered in when Christ died on the cross for all of us. Then it'll become easier to listen to God's call in our lives and to respond accordingly. Then we'll be able to give our whole selves to God as that holy, that living sacrifice. Y'all remember from a couple months ago, that which is pleasing to the eyes of God. Only then can we live fully into the community of faith that we've been blessed with today, responding to the call to mission, helping and loving and embracing our neighbors as ourselves. And then we can be comfortable enough to share our own testimony with others, our own times, when we realize that we weren't placing ourselves in God's hands fully. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen.